Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to the very first episode of Real Estate Disruptors. I'm here with my boy T. We're going to talk about a couple of things, but the main topic is zero to mega in 36 months, which is an amazing accomplishment.
Thank you.
So thanks for coming.
Appreciate it.
So the first thing I wanted to ask you was just a little bit about yourself. You know, like how did you, you know, get into real estate, or, you know, just tell me a little bit about your story.
Well, appreciate you having me. Yeah. It feels cool to be behind the mic because we're always talking every day, all day.
Yeah.
But to be in this setting is pretty fun. Okay, so my aunt, successful realtor in Prescott, my aunt Cindy, who I love dearly.
Yeah.
And thank God for her every day because she like opened my eyes up to this business. She called and said, hey, because I actually called her selling a multi-level marketing pill.
And she Which one?
Protandim. It's actually a cool pill. Chris okay. Michael, if you're watching, he kills it with it, right?
Yeah.
But that's the type of business you got to build a big pipeline downline, and that was not for me, right?
All right.
However, I called her, selling her on that, and she's like, look, I'll buy the pill, which I was pumped because I was going to make my $200.
Mm-hmm.
But she goes, if I do this, let me pay for real estate school, and then you go to school and pay me back out of your first deal.
Yeah.
So fast forward, I got through school. I came out of the gates selling more than just, I guess, I didn't know what the heck I was doing, but I think in my first or second month, I sold 4 homes.
Wow.
And I was like, wow, okay, this is what I want to do, but I need to get better at it.
Yeah.
So then you had asked, what were my biggest struggles?
Yeah, so what were your early struggles? Like, what was Temp's biggest challenges when he first got in the business?
Leads. I did not know how to create leads.
Yeah.
Like, I thought leads were like this mysterious unicorn that like only top producers had. I was like,
yeah.
I would see these ads for like leads. We have more leads than we know what to do with, right? And I was like, what are people doing? Like, I just post on Facebook and get engagement there. And I was very fortunate to have friends and family use me early. And I would hustle and do open houses, things like that. But I didn't know how to create leads. So that was my biggest struggle, is I had to figure out how to create a massive amount of leads so I could have more at bats.
Right.
And get better and get better.
So how did you solve that problem?
Okay, so I call it like my buckets. So I have my sphere of influence bucket. Anyone who knows me knows that I'm a realtor, knows I'm excited about it, and knows I want to help them. Like 100%, no one's ever going to see me like walking in the mall and like, oh, hey, Temp, haven't seen you forever. How have you been? What have you been up to? I bought a house, and I'm like, dude, I'm a realtor.
Right.
I would have used you. Like, and they say, hey, Temp, I would have used you. That's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Everyone's going to know I'm a realtor.
Okay.
That's number one. Number two is I started taking 20% of what I earn and reinvesting it in my business, mostly in marketing. So internet ads, just making sure I was creating deal flow from people that are outside of my sphere of influence that don't know me. And then number three is, I call it like your sweat equity. That's prospecting on the phone and open houses and networking.
Yeah.
So you have your SOI bucket, you have your internet lead bucket that you're paying for, and then you have things that are free, open houses, networking events. And if you go into each one of those things with, I'm a realtor, I'm excited about it, and I'd love to help you, you're going to get a lot of business.
So one of my favorite objection handling, right, I've never tried this, but you taught it to me, was I'm calling you, and I said, hey, I'm calling you, so your house is no longer in the market, you know, that it's already sold, blah, 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 and you come at, or you call me, and I tell you, yo, like, I already have someone I'm going to work with.
Right.
And you say.
Is this the potato salad one?
The goldfish one.
Oh. We can't cuss on this though, right?
I'm not sure. It's a family program. It's probably okay.
Okay. Well, so you're already working with someone. I'll be like, Steve, that's great. I have a goldfish.
And?
Why are we talking about shit that doesn't matter? And then I just flow to. So like I have that one. And then I'll also like whenever people are working with family, I'll say, hey, look at this. Whoever you're working with, I totally respect that. And if you're going to work with them, 100% good.
Yeah.
Just keep me in mind, because if something goes wrong with this transaction, you don't have to see me at the family barbecue every Sunday and eat shitty potato salad with me. So how about I take care of this transaction for you at a very high level, and I pay your cousin who just got in the business and doesn't know what they're doing, I'll pay them a handsome referral fee, and we all win.
Yeah.
You can see your cousin and eat the shitty potato salad, you're gonna get a high level of representation, and we can all, you know, kind of solve that problem. So goldfish and potato salad, remember those two.
Okay, remember those two, everybody, if you're paying attention. So going back a little bit, you said that, you know, everybody's gonna know that you're a realtor.
Yeah.
How does everybody know you're a realtor?
Social media.
Okay, so talk about that.
Okay, so again, I've created systems and processes around this, but in the beginning, I had nothing to stand on, right? I was 25, if we're being honest, not many people believed in what I was doing, because real estate's a hard industry. Mm-hmm. And I know, and I have had a lot of ideas in my life that didn't really pan out. So rightfully so.
Serial entrepreneur.
Right. My friends and family were probably like, okay, what's Temp up to now?
Yeah.
So, but I just slowly proved them wrong. And they all love me and believe in me, but I know deep down a lot of them were like, dude, there's more realtors per capita in Maricopa County than anywhere in the world.
Right.
So it's a competitive market.
Oh, yeah.
So tell me the question again. My bad. I was freestyling.
How does everyone know that you're the realtor?
Okay. So I would post, and I was like, you know what? I'm going to post so much about real estate and mm-hmm. be genuine about it that everyone is going to think of me when it comes to this. Whether they use me or not, they're going to at least think of me. So that was social media.
Okay. So I think something we should probably share, I don't know if we can maybe insert this later on, but the shaving.
Oh, waxing my chest.
Yeah, talk about that.
Okay, so I make crazy videos. And Denise, my wife, yeah. who a lot of you guys know, and she's the bomb, but she comes home and she's like, hey, hun, I got this new waxing kit. I want to try it. Let me wax your nipple and just see how it works.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, let's not waste this opportunity. Let's go Facebook Live. It's going to be funny. So we end up doing the whole chest. And I don't know like what disconnect I had in my mind, but I forgot that it's hot wax, right? Like I was just thinking like it's gonna hurt. I was thinking about the pool pain, not the heat pain.
I'm probably the same way. Right. I don't think about that.
So she touches me with it. I was like, oh my God, it's so hot. Like I'm dying. But I was crying, like that video had the most viewership ever.
Right.
People loved it. But long story short, a good friend of mine now, Derek Tubbs, mm-hmm. who we work with as a lender, he reached out to me and goes, hey, I looked at your production. You're doing a lot of deals. I want to come correct. I got a deal for you.
Yeah.
I saw you on that video. Me and my wife were crying laughing. And
right.
he sent me a deal that I made $8,000 on that month.
Right.
Because I waxed my freaking chest. So like, yeah. That's just like.
The wax paid for itself.
Oh, easy. The pain though, man. I looked like, the chest was not pretty for about a month.
I love that your pieces, your sets are more organized now, but I also miss the Templeton jumping out of a pool without a shirt on.
Well, videos. I don't have a pool anymore because I've downsized.
Is that what it is?
I'm a minimalist now.
Okay.
But no, like just before this, I did an episode to learn some shit about real estate in less than 60 seconds. That's like one of my favorites.
Okay, cool. Knowing what you know today, what would you do different?
I would work harder sooner.
Yeah.
So like, just like every other realtor, I would make money mm-hmm. and then I would be like, naturally take my foot off the gas and just chill. Like I thought I was still working hard, but like in reality I wasn't. Mm-hmm. And then I'd run out of money and I'd be like, oh shit, I need to make more money. So I'd work hard and mm-hmm. then I'd take my foot off the gas. So I would get serious about my business sooner. And when things get messy and when things are hard and you have five or six deals in, back then five or six deals to me was a lot.
Right.
So I was like, oh my God, I can't handle this. So I naturally would take my foot off the gas, tend to those five or six deals, and then have nothing in the pipeline and have to restart, right?
Right.
So if I'm me looking back, when I have five or six deals in, I would push the gas pedal harder and make a bigger mess.
Yeah.
And just figure it out.
So you mentioned that you realized a lot of time you were spending was actually time wasted, or you weren't as good at the use of your time. So, you know, time management is an issue that comes up over and over and over again, right? How did you solve the time management issue? Or not maybe solved, but how are you conquering to the best of your abilities?
I think we both know I'm still not perfect at it.
Yeah.
My calendar is like my mm-hmm. kryptonite, but I'm getting much better at it.
Yeah.
And what I've learned is that there is enough time for whatever it is you want to do.
Right.
You just have to decide, is that a priority or not? So like my new model right now is if it's not wildly important, mm-hmm. I'm not doing it.
Yeah.
And I've been fortunate to build out a team and leverage out through amazing, talented people. So I can have the luxury to really focus on my highest and best use. But I was saying yes to a lot of stuff that I really shouldn't have been saying yes to. So if it doesn't light you on fire, in the beginning though, you kind of have to do a lot of stuff. I mean, I would just be as active as possible.
Yeah, for sure.
But now, if it doesn't light me on fire mm-hmm. or it's something I really want to dive deep in, mm-hmm. I'm saying no to it.
Yeah. And then going back to time management and the topic we talked about a moment ago, where you were saying, you know, you're doing the social media thing. How do you plan out your social media to make sure that you're doing it consistently? Because consistency is the biggest problem for all of us.
So, you know, I'd love to say like I have a social media calendar and I'm like, oh, I'm supposed to post this right now. Mm-hmm. For me, I just kind of, I'm very mindful of, and I'll look at what I've posted and I'll be like, okay, I've posted 5 family photos. Mm-hmm. I haven't talked about business in a while, or vice versa. I've posted 6 business things. People might be getting tired about whatever this is. So I try to have a blend. I call it the 70-30 blend. I try to have it about 70% my life, mm-hmm. and then 30% my business, because I get so many messages from people now like, hey man, keep doing what you're doing. Like, you're inspiring me. I love what you're up to. Like, how can I get involved? What should I be doing? Because I'm a huge mindset and motivation guy.
Yep.
Like, I'm the baby T. Robbins. but it's like what I'm passionate about. Like,
I love
helping people. If I can dive into your situation and help mm-hmm. you, that's my favorite thing to do.
I know, me too. I love that. I love that too.
And social media gives you the width to do that at a high level.
So, you know, maybe you just answered this question. I don't know. What is your superpower?
I think caring. Like, my superpower in business is probably connecting with people and negotiating. Yeah. Connecting people and negotiating. Because I always negotiate from a place of win-win. Mm-hmm. Like, let's collaborate instead of you watch $1 million listing or whatever and they're arguing and this.
Yeah.
I don't, like my mom always says, you get more bees with honey than you do vinegar.
Yeah.
So I always come from a collaborative approach. So my negotiations tend to go very, very well, and I find solutions that work for everybody, especially my client.
Right.
So that's number one. Number two is I connect. You could throw me in a room with very affluent and whatever type people,
mm-hmm.
I can blend. You throw me in a room with blue collar, you know, we're drinking Coors Yellow Bellies, I can blend in. Like, do you know what a Yellow Belly is?
I've never had a Yellow
Oh, dude, it's a Coors Original. It looks like a little.
Okay.
It's a Coors Original.
Okay.
And it's yellow. So I call it. Up north, I'm from a small town, Colorado, he knows. We call it Yellow Bellies.
Okay.
But I'm just saying, the whole spectrum, I guess that would be my superpower, is like, I can genuinely make friends with most crowds.
Right.
And then, yeah, I'd say that's it.
So, can we talk about your wholesale business a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so I kind of shared this yesterday. You know, I put a listing up in Chandler, you mm-hmm. know, 85225, it's 32, less than 1,600 square feet. You know, we're listed at 248. And we got 7 lowball offers. 7.
Right.
Right? Which I know, this is the business. This is the game we're in right now. Like, I'm not offended by that. Like, you can send me, you know, half the price. I don't really care. But pick up the phone and tell me why I should go with your offer. And I think that's one of the things you do really well.
So, rapport building. Because I know that great deals right now are getting, mm-hmm. Wholesaling is like a hot term right now.
Yep.
Agents are trying to figure out how to compete with the OfferPads and the Open Doors and just these new disruptors that are coming into our market and changing the way we have to conduct business. So I know it's competitive. So where's my competitive edge? It's my relationship building.
Mm-hmm.
So I will call you on that, Steve, and say, hey, Steve, what's up, man? How are you? My name's Temp. Here's the deal. Where do you need to be on that house? I want to make this work for both of us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and just figure out your hot buttons that I can press that make you feel good about the deal, and we'll have you choose me as your end buyer as opposed to X, Y, and Z guy.
Right.
And sometimes I win homes where I'm not the highest offer,
right.
but I built so much rapport that they end up selling it to me.
Yeah, and so that just goes back to, you know, actually picking up the phone and connecting with people.
So 10 of my calls, so I prospect every morning, mm-hmm. right? And 10 of my calls are to agents.
Yeah.
I need to have 10 good conversations with agents where I'm just connecting with them and saying, Steve, it's Temp. I'm checking in again. Do you have anything off market right now? I'd love to just take a look at it. You know, I want to be number one on speed dial. If you have a deal, you're calling me, right? And they laugh and I laugh and it's genuine. It's like, those are real friends and connections of mine.
Right. Call me first. Always call me first. So, you know, one of the things that I like working with you, right? Because I work with a lot of people, right? And there's no shortage of people that we can help.
Right.
But one of the things I like a lot about you is the gratitude, you know?
Right.
It's that just simple, like, hey, you know, I talked to Temp and Temp, you know, helped him, didn't help him, whatever. He's like, dude, I appreciate you. And that little small touch, I know, impacts me. And I know when it, you know, when I'm feeling good, I'm making other people feel good. So right. I would say, you know, is there something that you learned that from somewhere, or it's just
gratitude? So, dude, I'm a self-help, like, I get weird on it, right?
Yeah.
And gratitude, I have learned that you cannot be in a negative state of mind if you are in a state of gratitude.
Yeah.
I cannot be angry, upset. I can't be any of those negative emotions that really hurt us
mm-hmm.
if I'm in a state of gratitude.
Yeah.
And gratitude you can pull from anywhere. Like, I look at when I'm in my car and I look at someone waiting for, and I do this so often, I look at someone waiting for the bus
mm-hmm.
and I'll be like, gosh, man, they, imagine having another hour on your day to get to work, another hour to get home. Like, thank you, God. Thank you, whatever power, higher being you believe in.
Yeah.
I get chills thinking about it.
Right.
Thank you for giving me what I've not only worked for, but like, I won the genetic lottery of living in a first world country. Like, that was not in my plan, right? Like,
right.
I had no control over all that. So thank you. I'm just so grateful. You can get so granular on gratitude.
Yeah.
Like, holy smokes. I'm just thankful I ate. I'm thankful I have a car. Just all these things.
You know, we talk about like things to be grateful for, and people are like, I don't know what to be grateful for. And like, the first thing I always go to is like, be grateful you live in the United States of America.
Right. And you woke up.
Yeah.
So one of my best friends, and I didn't plan on talking about this, one of my best friends, he played college basketball with me. He's here in town right now.
Yeah.
A year older than me. He was a sophomore. His name's Chris Davis. He's a dear friend of mine. Stage 4 brain cancer. Just had surgery. Right. And he called me, and he's the biggest jokester, the most fun loving, sweet guy, and called me and said, hey, Temp, what's going on? I was like, hey, you're in town. Let's link up. And he goes, hey, I'm at the Mayo. I have brain cancer.
Yeah.
Or, you know, I have a brain tumor.
Yeah.
And I have surgery. So that's been a hard thing that we've been dealing with these last few weeks. But it's given me a tremendous amount of gratitude, because this jovial, fun loving guy who's a year older than me. So he's 31, I believe.
He's old.
You know what I mean, though?
Yeah,
like,
no.
He's 31, and he's dealing with that. Like, can you imagine? So you could get gratitude from anywhere.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I definitely know that pain, because I had, my friend, I want to say we were 24, when he passed away from cancer. And it was just a matter of, like, 3 consecutive weekends. It was like, hey, I found out I have cancer. So, all right, I'll come out. You know, I'm out. And I'll be there. And I jump on the next, you know, not next flight, but that weekend.
Right.
Right? And then the next week, they're like, hey, he's not going to make it. Like, the next week,
right.
He's not going to make it. It's like, okay, so we came out and said goodbye. And then the next week, it was the funeral. I was like, man,
so
it's crazy how fast things can change.
Well, you know, and I think that's a true test, and I'm inside of one of these tests right now with this experience, is it's easy to be the fun-loving, jovial guy on Instagram and on Facebook and showing the highlights of your life. And,
yeah.
Hey, guys, stay inspired, stay motivated, right? Like,
right.
Being that source of inspiration.
It's easy to push that.
When things are up.
Yeah.
But the true people that are built for it are when you're getting kicked and you're down,
and
you
down.
And you can still share that message and still find gratitude.
Yeah.
That's when you're free.
Right.
Like, I could lose everything today, and if I still had my wife and kids, I'm rich. Like, I've already won.
Right.
Like, I'm good.
That's powerful.
So everything else is just gravy on the potatoes, you know? Like, I have my wife, I have my children, I have my mom and dad still. I have my brother. I have a lot of great best friends. I have mentors.
Yeah.
Like, I've already hit the lotto.
Yeah. And so, I got a chance to meet your mom, too, so she's awesome.
My mom's the sweetest lady in the world.
I don't know how you're able to dunk. I mean, your mom's not super tall.
Well, so. I can't dunk anymore, but there was a time I had some bounce.
So Julio was asking, what are things you would go back and say no to right now that you were saying yes to before?
Julio's awesome, by the way.
Yeah.
He's a rising star.
Yep.
I was loving on him. What's the question?
What would you say no to now that you wouldn't say no to before?
Just like random appointments. So like, I'm loyal to just like, you find vendor partners, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'll be loyal to them and just be like, hey, we're gonna do business. And a lot of people, especially once you start selling a lot of homes, are reaching out to you, hey, can I take you for a 15-minute cup of coffee? How many of those calls do you get?
None. I don't have my cell phone anywhere anymore now.
Okay, well, so, and I would always be like, I'm like so fun loving. I'm like, yeah, we can grab a cup of coffee, let's go do it. And then they would tell me about their marketing material and why I should send them my deals and this and that. And I met a lot of great people, and I don't regret those times, but if I still took every one of those calls and went on every appointment, I would never have time to like sell a house or build my company.
Right.
So I would say no to, I was busy being busy for like a while.
And you're very fortunate that you figured that out, because I mean, you still go to some of those continuing education classes. I mean, there's a lot of people busy learning stuff, spending 3 hours.
You know, it's that analyzation, paralyzation, like so many people, especially in our business and in any business, they prepare to get ready, to prepare to be a badass.
Yeah.
And they never just go be a badass.
Right.
It's like, that's another strength I have, is I'm willing to jump into the fire before I really know what I'm doing.
Right, and that's why we're doing this raw and uncut.
Yeah, that's why we had mic issues, and we spun with it, and we're good, you know? It's
exactly.
All good.
So how long did you wait until you started investing 20% of your money into marketing?
Okay, so this is a funny
story. That's B White. So what's up, B White?
B White, what's up, B Wizzle? Okay, so I was a year or two in, so my first year I did like 4 million.
Mm-hmm.
Next year I did 10 million and was solo. And I was like, holy smokes. Like that was, I was at my bandwidth.
10 million by yourself? No assistant?
Yeah. No, no. Okay, so I messed up on the story. 5 million. But like I was at my, yeah, no assistant.
Ugh.
It was awful. So, but when I made the jump from like 4 to 10,
mm-hmm.
I didn't really have much money at that point because I told you I was on the roller coaster, right?
Mm-hmm.
I remember being in the second living room of our house whispering into Zillow, spending $5,000 a month that we didn't have for ads, and because I didn't want my wife to hear. And I was like, yeah, let me get $5,000.
Right.
And I made a promise to Denise. I was like, hey, I'm going to take every one of these leads because, quite frankly, we need to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And I promise you I'm going to work so hard and show a return. So, and I also got a lender to help me out on that. So we, on about $40,000 in investment,
mm-hmm.
I turned that into about $240,000 in revenue.
Pretty good ROI.
That's the money that helped me launch T Group, helped me launch my life. Like I'm only 4 or 5 years into this and I've had a very rapid growth,
yeah.
But a lot of it took place when I got on that secret phone call and was like, all right, I gotta start spending some money.
Yeah.
But I still kept working my sphere of influence bucket. Now I had a lot of leads coming in. I started networking, my name started getting out there more, and it was like this perfect storm. And then here's the thing, there was times I didn't want to answer the phone because I titled it Zillow Money Pickup exclamation point. And like I'd be like, I don't want to take this.
Yeah.
But I promised myself I would, so I'd be like.
And you promised your wife.
Yes. So I was like, this is Temp, what can I do for you? And I quit telling people about me. If you want a lead conversion tip, don't talk about yourself. Say, great, when do you want to go see that house?
Mm-hmm.
Let me set it up for you. I'll meet you out there. And then if they sound like sketch, call them back and be like, hey, tell me a little bit about your situation. You know what I mean?
Right, right. Let's see.
What are you laughing at?
Denise, as I heard though, she heard you make that call.
Okay.
So what marketing do you find most effective to attract referrals in business?
Agent relationships.
Yeah.
So if we're talking wholesale,
mm-hmm.
it's every agent in the valley now knows, not every agent, but right. I would like to think that. But if you know me, you know that I want to see your properties first and give you a cash offer today.
Right.
That's the biggest thing for my wholesale. Number two would be my sphere of influence in social media. I'm actually doing a Temp Talks next month on how to leverage your social media. So that would be like how you really dive into and connect with people.
Right.
I always say on social, you can't just be interesting, you need to be interested.
Right, right.
So if you want everyone to love on you, but you never say, wow, Steve, great job, man, that's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're just taking without giving back.
Exactly.
And if you want to get technical, I mean, people hate it, but I get a healthy return from Zillow because we manage those leads really well. They're expensive, yeah. But...
Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter if they're expensive. If every dollar you put in, you get $5 back. All day.
I'll take it. I always say that. I always tell people, like, I'll pay $1 million if you give me $1.5 million back.
Yeah, no problem. No problem. So let's see. What else was there? What other social media platforms do you find most impactful in reaching your sphere? Question mark is Snapchat, Facebook, or Insta?
Facebook and Insta. I don't have a Snapchat.
Okay.
Instagram stories I really like. I think that's where a lot of people, like, get to watch my day and, like, watch kind of what I'm up to and they're interested. Mm-hmm. And then they'll message me and be like, dude, that's really cool. Like, thank you for sharing because maybe they're in a situation that they're not loving and they want to do something different.
Yeah.
And I can kind of show them that a regular guy is like kind of killing it. And I'm really happy with what I'm doing, but I'm doing it my way.
Right.
So Facebook and Instagram are huge.
Cool. Cool. Let's see. What else was there? What is the greatest lesson you've ever learned?
To give without any expectation.
Yeah.
The faster you give,
mm-hmm.
without expecting anything in return, your success will skyrocket.
Yeah.
Where now I've honestly considered, I was going to talk about this on my podcast, but we'll talk about it on yours. Creating half a day, so like taking half a day every week and mm-hmm. having it be my giving session.
Yeah.
So for 5 hours, I will literally do anything for anyone. In those 5 hours, you need help moving? Great. You want me to dive into your business and help you figure out lead conversion? Great.
Right.
For free. I just want to help. And if I do that over and over and over again.
First, how many hours of the day?
5 hours.
The day?
Oh, not every day. One day a week for five hours.
Okay. I say, look, as your broker, I'm concerned about your business right now.
No, no, no. But imagine if someone really committed to giving at that level.
Oh, yeah. No. For
sure. They would, because you're making these little equity deposits into. like I always say now, like if there was a market shift or anything like that, and I was unprepared, which I'm not, I'm very ready. I have given value to so many big players and small players or just people alike. I would like to think that like my tribe would lift me up if they saw me in a bad spot.
Yeah.
And I could go to you, Steve, right? And like, I'd be like, Steve, how do we leverage my talents? I'm in a bad spot. Can you give me a job? I bet you'd figure out a way.
100%. 100% right? We find a way to make it work.
Or other really big players in the game that they know my heart. They know that I want to give. They know that my talents. And mm-hmm. they would say, Temp, come work for me.
Yeah.
Right? So like, I'm fearless at this point. And I told you, I already won.
I could tell you. I mean, there's someone right now in the industry, you know, our friend, right? I mean, he's like, look, you know what? I don't want to run a team anymore. I just want to jump on someone else's team. And everybody in town called him.
So,
like, that's a testament to giving.
Have to say who it
I know
is,
we don't say
like,
who it is. But
imagine
it's a testament.
The most lovable, likable, amazing dude in the industry.
Yeah.
Just saying, you know what? I'm not going to run a team anymore. I'm going to plug into another team.
Right.
This is what happened. It was like the universe opened up, like, we want you.
The sea parted. Everyone
was reaching out to him. And he had, like, a million people that wanted him.
Right.
And that's exactly, that just shows you that.
Exactly. He's the biggest giver we know.
If you give,
yeah,
you're going to be good.
Yep. Very true. Very true. Let's see. Is there anything else? Is there? Okay. So, Denise, yes, you missed it. We did talk about the waxing story.
Babe. So, she was drinking martinis. I wasn't even drinking. And people thought I was faded. I was like, no. I was in pain. I wasn't. All
right. So, note to self, definitely don't do the hot wax thing.
Wax if someone's going to send you a deal.
That's true. Okay, so what are you learning right now?
To focus on the wildly important.
Mm-hmm.
To manage I don't even like to say manage my time better now.
Yeah.
It's manage my priorities better.
Mm-hmm.
And also that there's no perfect plan. Like, I don't need to be at my income goals tomorrow. I don't need to be at my freedom number tomorrow. Like, it's a process. And there's always, here's the biggest thing I've learned as of late. If you're always waiting for when I get to this point, when I get to this point, I'll take a vacation. When I get to this point, I'll find a significant other. When I get to this point, I'll reinvest in this.
Yeah.
There's always going to be another when I get to.
Mm-hmm.
So why not, if you're not enjoying the journey, you're never going to actually feel satisfied.
All right.
So this journey has to just be a fun ride that you're loving, because when I get to, you're going to get there, and then there's going to be another one I get to.
You know what's crazy? So I think this is probably before I met you. So I drove an Audi S4, right?
Right.
Loved that car. Loved it. But I remember, like, I bought it, took the gas station to fill it up before I drove them, because I flew to California, because that's where it's cheaper.
Yeah.
Drive it back. I was looking, I was like, I got my dream car. You know, it's been on my checklist forever.
Changed your life zero.
Didn't feel any different. It's like, that's just my car. It's just
so you
strange.
Know, you know I'm on the weird minimalist kick.
Yeah.
So I bought my dream car.
Yeah.
Like within 2 weeks, I was like, this is so stupid. And I had a paid off Sonata. I was like, man, I can keep whipping. Because, and I always tell people this, it's the material doesn't make the man. The
right.
man makes the material.
Right.
So I know now I can show up wherever with confidence, and people are going to know I'm a player in the game because I am.
Exactly.
Not because I do still have a decent car, but that's there's other reasons that I feel really satisfied around it.
Yeah.
But I bought that BMW 750 Li because I wanted other people to know I was making it.
Yeah.
Where now it's like, if you here's the last thing we could leave with, or you could tell me what the last thing we leave with. But here's a thought.
Yeah.
If you're pretending to be anything other than what you are,
mm-hmm.
you will become exhausted.
Yeah.
Because eventually, it's going to fade, right? And your true colors are going to come out, and you cannot keep that facade up, and it's going to be exhausting. So
mm-hmm.
just skip all the BS and just be you,
right?
And you're going to be much more free, happy, and content.
No, it's definitely words of wisdom. Let's see what else is there. Okay, so Peter wants to know when he should start investing, because he's like, you know, when I get to, when's the right time to start investing?
You can start any time. So I talked about this on my Learn Some Shit About Real Estate in less than 60 seconds today.
Yeah.
It's like, if I didn't have a family and kids and like certain means that I had to make for a house, if I was single, I would come to me or to whoever your real estate professional is and say,
what's up, Peter?
I want to go buy my first fourplex,
Yeah.
which you could buy as a single family home.
Right, FHA.
Right? FHA, 3.5% down. I'd live in the one unit. The other three units would pay for my rent, or not my rent, my mortgage. I'd live for free. I now have four units. 12 months later, I'd go buy my second one. I'd live in there, fill in that fourth unit.
Yeah.
So now I have four rentals, and I'm living for free again with three other rentals, and I would repeat that process.
Right.
So now, within 2 years, you could have eight units.
Right.
And you lived for free for 2 years.
Exactly.
That's what I would do. Or
saving a lot of money.
You know what I'm saying?
So let's see, what else was there? How has failure shaped your life?
Shoot. I mean, it's taught me a ton. Like, sometimes you have to, like, eat some humble pie.
Yeah.
And learn from it and be willing to, like, say, you know what? I see what I did wrong, and I'm not going to make that mistake again. There's nothing wrong with making mistakes.
Right.
If you learn from them.
Yeah.
There is something wrong with making the same mistake over and over and over again and not changing anything about it.
Yeah. I know, like, some of the people we've had in our office, they're very surprised the first time they screw up. I was like, okay, what did you learn from it?
Right.
Right. It was, and, like, I didn't fly off the handle, and they're, like, I don't know, desensitized from, like, all the places they worked at where they're just totally expecting,
right,
like, their boss to fly off. And I was like, look, if you're not making mistakes, you're not trying hard enough. Like, exactly. We got to make mistakes. All right. So what have you read that everybody should read?
Well, the first one that lit me on fire was Rich Dad, Poor Dad. Yeah. That just gets you thinking about money differently, thinking about assets differently.
Yeah.
Have your assets pay for your liabilities. Now you're financially free, creating infinite money, money that comes in always, rather than so many realtors. They got to go put another sign in the ground to make more income, and they have to repeat that process.
Do you give that book out?
So I have like 10. So whenever people meet with me, I'll share that one.
Mm-hmm.
The Richest Man in Babylon.
Yeah, I love that
one. It's one of the greatest financial books you could read, and it's in story form, and it's a great story. As a Man Thinketh. Mm-hmm. I'm not kidding. If my buddy Tim Esteban's watching, he's a realtor with HomeSmart. He's only part time and he's killing it. But long story short, he was my neighbor and would kill me in ping pong.
Mm-hmm.
Kill me. I read this book, dude, and like my thoughts were like steroids at this point. Like, I could think anything and I could do it. I went down the street, I beat him in ping pong after I read the book, which was impossible.
You didn't change anything?
I shot an 85 in golf, which I had never shot lower than like a 90.
Mm-hmm.
It was like my thoughts were like so powerful. So read As a Man Thinketh.
Is that what I was doing wrong when we were playing at Dave and Buster's? I wasn't thinking about hard enough?
Yeah, you should have read the book. Ain't nobody beating that.
Yeah, I can't believe I lost you. It was like 3 or 4 times. That's never happened before. What have you done that everybody should do?
Believe in yourself, for one. Have an amazing partner. So, like, my wife, Denise, and I, we've, just like any relationship, we've had highs, we've had lows, but someone that believes in you is going to stick with you and empower you to chase what you want to chase.
Yeah.
That's key. Get serious about your business sooner. Get around bigger thinkers sooner. I was at a small brokerage that I respect and with amazing people.
Yeah.
But I was selling like $4 million a year and was like the top producer there.
Mm.
So then I was like, man, whoa, I didn't even know about this whole other world. So I'd get around bigger thinkers sooner. Start investing in yourself sooner. Like, I spend a lot of money every month on my self-development.
Yeah.
So, and now I, you know, in turn, I share my message and charge for it at times. But the people who are willing to invest in themselves are going to get where they're headed so much quicker.
But I would say you're not investing just yourself. I mean, kind of like what you said, like, you're also investing in others too, right? Like, you're taking that knowledge, curating that knowledge, and then you're sharing that knowledge.
Oh, I will share it with, like,
yeah.
That's like, that's what you want to do is give. You want to give. You don't always have to give money or your time. You could give your knowledge and say, hey, when I first started, I hit this massive pothole. It wasn't fun. You should steer around it.
Yeah.
Now, I just saved you 20 grand because I made that mistake.
Right. Let's see. How do you find a way to manage your work-life balance, or do you think that's not a real thing?
Leverage. You got to find amazing people that buy into the vision. So I have the best agents. Mm-hmm. I have Shauna, who runs all operations. I have Scott, who runs all marketing. I have Chelsea and Jenna, who are executive assistant, transaction manager type roles.
Mm-hmm.
I have Brandon. I mean, I just have amazing agents that handle, so I don't show property. I've just leveraged my life to where I can focus on the wildly important and then spend time with my wife and kids.
All right. Cool. Awesome. Why do you think most people fail?
They don't go all in. They dunk their toe in the water and they act like they're doing a lot.
Right.
But deep down in their heart, they know they're not doing everything it takes. Like, you have to go all, you got to burn the boats, in my opinion. And you got to go all in and don't lie to yourself. Don't be easy on yourself and be like, well, you know, you did pretty good today. No, it's like, dude, do great today.
Tried really hard.
Yeah, do great today. And go all out, like sprint as hard as you can until you drop and fall. Pick yourself up and then do it again.
Yeah, no, that's powerful. Let's see, is there anything else? No, that's it. So the last question for you, and you can avoid, you can refuse to answer this question, it's totally fine. But what pisses you off?
Pisses me off. I mean, I'm pretty fun loving.
Like, I know, that's what I'm saying. It might be hard for you.
It's hard for me to get too riled up. Like, I have so many people like get crazy with me or get crazy with one of my agents, and then like I'll step in and be like,
you're like Mama Bear.
Yeah, or Papa Bear, whatever you want to call it. But yeah, I'll be like, hey, you ain't gonna do that. But I always come with the, you get more bees with honey than vinegar. Mm-hmm. So it's rare, because when I was younger, I was wild. And I would fight, and I was like crazy.
I know, you've told me some of the stories.
So I don't ever want to go back to that guy. Yeah. Like, I see things from a different perspective now. So nothing really pisses me off. I guess like if people are unwilling to help themselves. Yeah. Like if they have the answers and they're just like unwilling to help themselves. I guess, but that doesn't even make me mad. It makes me feel more bad for them. Like
pity.
Dude, yeah, like, man, you got the answers. Like, let's just, like, let's go. Let's go. And if they're unwilling, it doesn't piss me off. It just makes me sad for them. Yeah. I'm like, dude.
No, I'm the same way. All right, let's see. So is there, we got, let's just give it 5-10 more seconds. If you got a question you were waiting on, now's the time. I can't see anybody typing on this, so I don't have an iPad. So
no worries.
I think we're good. So hey, dude, thank you. Awesome. I think that was an awesome, awesome first show. I don't know if we're gonna be able to top it.
Dude, well, you shouldn't have started with me, because it's a downhill slide from here.
All right, thanks guys.